Alright.
Yeah.
Alright, so welcome everybody to the Tuesday, October 15th, 2019 Infill Incentive District Design Review Committee. It is 3 p.m. on the dot. We're located at 201 North Stone on the fourth floor conference room. Roll call. We have, start with Chair Chris Gans.
Yep.
Robin Schombach, absent. John Burr.
Present.
Bill Viner.
Here.
Kathleen Erickson, absent. Fred Ronstadt.
Here.
Michael Becker, absent. And then we have design professionals Rick Gonzalez and Faye Tom. I see you're both in attendance as well.
Here.
Okay. Next on the agenda is approval of legal action report for September 24th, 2019. Has everybody had the opportunity to review the legal action report?
Motion to approve is presented.
Your second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Second. Kathleen.
Aye.
Next item on the agenda is IID-19-05 Luth Hotel / Junior Group 140 East Broadway Boulevard T19SA00161 DP19-0152. It's a public meeting, and we will, as usual, we will hear presentations and then any questions at that point. So, next on the agenda.
And Mr. Chair, members of the DRC, just to take note of 301, Ms. Kathleen Erickson is now present.
Yes.
And we do have a quorum.
Okay. That's good.
Okay. Just to state it on the record.
Thank you. So first agenda is preliminary staff remarks.
Yeah, so this is our first formal review of the project. The DRC has informally reviewed this as a courtesy review twice prior. The only thing that has changed since the last time we've seen it is it has recently received PRS approval unanimously last Thursday. So they did go to the Plans Review Subcommittee. It's for, we can kind of go through the summary here. It's the 44 new and 13 renovated market rate studio apartments, an additional 3,350 square feet of ground floor retail space. The new studio apartments are located at the southeast corner of East Broadway Boulevard and Arizona Avenue, immediately adjacent to the historic Julie and Drew building. The renovated studio apartments are located on the second floor of the Julie and Drew building. And the new and existing buildings are physically connected at the second and third floor / roof levels to provide elevator access to the Julie and Drew building and to allow for sharing of common area amenities that include a rooftop terrace on top of the Julie and Drew building. The applicant is requesting the IID-DRC to recommend the approval of the following UDC modifications. Setback relief, landscaping, screening, and solid waste collection.
Okay. Next on the agenda is the project presentation for the applicant.
My name is Bill Williams. I'm an architect and partner with Engberg Anderson Architects, located at 2 East Congress Street here in Tucson. And we have more people arriving. Just in time, Ross. I'm warming them up for you.
Bill, what? You want to control the...
Yes. Which button does what?
Just scroll the wheel there. There you go.
Okay, very good.
Mr. Chair, members of the DRC, Mr. Michael Becker just showed up. He's from the Historic Plan Review Subcommittee, attending this meeting today at 3 or 4 p.m.
Okay, as I look around the room, I believe most of you have seen either one or two of the previous presentations. Fred, I'm not sure if you did or
that's
not.
In the documents.
Okay. So rather than going through everything in great detail, I would like to just hit a few high points and then obviously open it up for questions. But from the very beginning, this project was a very important project for Ross, who just entered the room over here, primarily because of the site that the building is to be located on. As you're traveling eastbound on Broadway, many of you have probably not so much noticed the site as the mural that's on the side of the Julian Drew building. But in most people's memory, that mural is sort of burned into your brain, so you know how important that site is as you travel in that direction. So it's very, very important for Ross to really create a statement building there. He wanted something that was really special, not only for him and for his tenants, but something that's really special for the city of Tucson. And he had previously gone through started a review process where he was granted some relief already in terms of the number of stories, some of the setbacks, and all of that had been documented and approved previously. When I got involved, we had these conversations about what kind of building should this be, what kind of presence should it have on the street. And again, Ross wanted something that was exciting, something that was of its time, something that was unique and different, not only in terms of the product that he was going to offer, which are these kind of small units that have a loft inside of each one, but in terms of the architectural statement as well. There are things we did not want to give up. There are things that we did not want to destroy. And one of those is the existing streetscape. I think most of you have probably walked that street, going to Charles Steak or one of the restaurants along there. And it's really one of the nicest streetscapes in downtown Tucson. And that's one of the things we wanted to preserve. We wanted to preserve it just the way that it is. And in terms of our design, we wanted to strengthen and reinforce that street presence. So I'll talk about that a little bit more. But one of the things I wanted to hit on today was the fact that, you know, architects hate design review boards. And we always say, we don't need this, you know, we're good enough to do this on our own. But I really wanted to touch on those things that we have changed and altered that have arisen out of all the comments that you guys have made that have actually made this a better building. So I want to sort of highlight those features as we go through this. Now, I did not organize these slides, so I'm not quite sure where everything is, but I think I'll just start here. Sort of the nighttime view of the project. Again, this is your view as you'd be heading eastbound, sort of out of downtown. The new building located here, five stories, the Julian Drew building located a little bit further to the east. I wanted to really start with this to first illustrate the conversation about the streetscape and how the design of the new building really reinforces that kind of retail frontage, that retail shop front of the existing Julian Drew building. And we did that by using the modularity and organization of the apartments above to create this strong rhythm that exists at the street itself. And as you notice, the Julian Drew building has this very traditional, classical kind of rhythm to the building at the street. It's very open and transparent. And we wanted to do something similar, but yet it's different. It's contemporary. It's not the same, but it still has that kind of rhythm and that kind of feel. And it's very, very glassy at the street front, so that experience as you walk by is very open and very, very engaging. A couple of points I wanted to make on this particular drawing was, I believe it was a conversation we had with Rick about lighting of the building, especially in the evening, not only for security, but for interest. And out of that conversation, we developed a concept of lighting beneath these canopies or soffits that are recessed at the street, so that we have this pattern of lighting that extends along the building, and it actually wraps the corner on Arizona Avenue. Because another conversation we had with this group was the importance of Arizona Avenue and the fact that a lot of people do use that street. And as you're approaching the building from the east, you really do notice that facade and what's happening at that level. So we didn't really want to treat that as the side of a building. We wanted to treat it as a street. So the sort of pattern that we've developed here we've extended around to the side, and we have lit it in a similar manner so that even in the evening, it'll be a very, very pleasant experience to turn that corner and walk along Arizona Avenue. Let's see. Another thing this drawing illustrates, maybe I should go to the daytime view. There we go. One of the comments that came out of our conversation here was how to treat this wall. And that wall happens to be the side of the units that are located along here. And initially, very early on, the idea that was going to be a poured concrete wall. This was going to be poured concrete, and then all of these fins were going to be poured concrete, so it had that kind of feeling to it. But of course, that kind of wall would be very large, it'd be very hot. So over time, what we've done is we've developed a texturing and a patterning to that facade that really breaks down the scale of it, and the pattern and texture becomes much more similar to the pattern and texture that is going on elsewhere in the facade. So rather than it being a large, flat plane, now it's something that has kind of a bas relief sort of texture to it. It's not extreme, it's just a few inches, but it's enough that as the sun rakes across, you get some nice little shadow lines, and it will really break up that facade. So that was another response to comments that came out of this group that was very, very appreciated. Another comment was about how we treat the railings. And you'll notice on the facade, it has this sort of in and out patterning going on. And it's somewhat random, somewhat arbitrary from this level up. But the idea there is, again, to create a very interesting, very dynamic facade. And then these balcony railings, where you do have balconies, they become very, very important features. And at one point, we were talking about just doing sort of a more of a wired grid kind of railing, which we've seen a lot in Tucson. But those railings are very, very transparent. And it seemed necessary in this design for those elements to have a little bit more structure to them, a little bit more presence to them. So what we've done is come back with a perforated metal screening that when they're painted, they have more of a presence to them than that wire mesh would have. But yet when you're inside and you're looking out, you can still see through them. It becomes sort of a filtered view. But one of the things I wanted to point out here, and again, it's about being a good neighbor, being responsive to the Julian Drew building, is we worked very, very hard on the first level and that relationship. And I know when Rick was looking at it, he said, well, you know, we really have to do something on the second level too to encourage or to strengthen that relationship with the height of the adjoining building. Now, in terms of our floor levels, we were already lining up pretty well, but there still wasn't, you know, a strong enough sort of line here in this building that related to the line of the Julian Drew building. Now, we had originally carved out this corner of the building. So there, the facade steps back. The balcony comes out to the front. We had that originally. And when we look at it from another view, I think I have this view, yes. When you look at it from this view, you can see how eroding that corner really strengthens that sort of two-story element going across, actually all the way to the adjoining building across Arizona Avenue. And in working with Rick, what we decided to do was also erode that corner so that establishes that relationship immediately right here as well as out of that corner. So I think in doing that, it really does make a nice transition between this building and this building, and they relate very well at that level. Let's see. Another item that is important on any building is the color of the building. And I believe, John, you've been at every one of these presentations. And the very, very first time we presented it, it was a different color scheme than it is today. It was much more neutral, and in many ways it related more to the AC Marriott across the street than it did to the Julian Drew building. So one of the things that was brought up in that very first meeting, as well as a comment that Rick brought up, is that we should do something in terms of the color of the building that helps to tie it to the Julian Drew as well. So what we've done is all of these spandrels at the floor levels, and then certain elements of the building are picking up on the color of the brick that is on the Julian Drew building. I mean, we're not going to try to match it exactly, but get it within that same color family, so there's that relationship. And then at the very bottom, there's this paint color that runs through the Julian Drew building. That in a photograph, it always looks blue to me, but when you're out there, it's actually kind of a gray color. But we're showing it being a little bit more blue on our building, so that again, at that street level, we're picking up on the color of the Julian Drew at the street, and then again, we're carrying that color through at the base of our building. So color was very, very important, and I think that makes it, or helps it be a nice neighbor to the Julian Drew building. One of the other items that may not be important in terms of the design, the aesthetic design of the building, but currently in the alley, there's many trash containers that sort of float and roam around in the alley. And one of the comments that came up was, is there something you guys can do to sort of consolidate that and help us out and clean up that alley? So based on that comment, we did enlarge the trash room that is inside our building, and it's made so that it can accommodate the trash from not only our building, but from the carriage house and from the Julian Drew. So now that's all going to be consolidated inside the building in one location, and then the refuse will be, you know, switched out from there. So that should take at least, you know, a couple of those dumpsters out of the alley. I believe one of them may belong to the city. It belongs to the TV or public access TV building. I'm not sure how they handle stuff there. But that's something else that we're working on. Now, there are a couple of items that were brought up that we've made an attempt to address. One is, we do have a lot of glass on the building, and I would say at least half the units are north-facing, and then the rest are west and south-facing. On the south facade, what we have done is the south facade, which is located here, has half the amount of glazing that the other facades have. So we've cut down that sun exposure by half. And then all of the windows on the south and on the west have interior solar shades. They're rolling solar shades so that individuals will be able to control how much sun that they want into their space and how much view they want. And the solar shades are set up so that there's an upper section of the window, and that's like one solid shade. And then the lower windows have individual shades for each window, so you can manipulate those separately. One of the interesting things about that is, at night, that's also going to affect the appearance of the building, depending on how people have them up and down. I think it'll be fun and exciting and interesting. We did explore, you know, putting sunscreens on the building. On the west side, the issue is we are right on the property line, and it's 26 feet. That Arizona Avenue is 26 foot right of way, and we're right on the edge of it. So anything that hangs off our building gets out into that right of way. So west didn't seem like a good solution. The other problem is, on a taller building, the way you wash your windows is from the roof coming down, and everything that hangs off the building gets in the way of everybody who's trying to wash the windows. So they become, you know, just a troublesome feature on the outside of the building for maintaining and caring. So I think we wanted to do more, but, you know, we're just sort of at the point where we are right now. We know there's a light fixture that that John would like to see reused. It's located like right in here right now in the parking lot. It's similar to what's in the front of the building along the street. It's not a historic fixture, but it's a historic replica fixture. Unfortunately, we just don't have any space on our site for it. We're using every square inch. So I know John would like to see if we can find a happy home for that somewhere. So we will certainly try to do that. But in summary, I think the idea was, you know, we wanted to create a building that is dramatic, somewhat unusual, unique, something that people will be excited to see, something they'll be excited to drive by, something that people will be excited to live in, something that will rent really well for the building owner. I think we've accomplished that, and we've accomplished that, I think, with a lot of the help of this committee and the input that you've given to us. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to address them.
Open the floor up to the DRC.
Were you able to determine if Ross owns the light fixture or if it was part of the project instituted in 2009 to 2012 by Fran LaSala on behalf of the city as the streetscape improvement project? There's some others on 5th too, I don't know.
Yeah, that.
There, I think Armory Park is the only location that has those specific globe fixtures, so mm-hmm. It'd be nice if it went to a replacement of a future broken one in the Armory Park district, if that's possible. There is no use for it on site, but yeah. I don't even know who owns it.
Yeah, Ross, do you know who actually?
Wait, what light fixture?
It's in the parking lot right along Arizona Avenue. There's one historic replica.
Pardon? Oh, in the parking
lot. In the parking lot.
Yeah.
Right on the edge of the.
I mean, I
kind of
know.
Okay. Kind of a curiosity.
Yeah. But we should stay in touch, and the day will come before long that will come down, and we'd like to find a place to.
The thing is, I know Plans Review was very, supportive of the project. Just good presentation. I don't think it's changed any since then.
No.
Nor actually since our last courtesy review substantial.
Right.
So
just new renderings, basically.
Yeah. The one thing that I was surprised Plans Review didn't even comment about or was not brought up is this is going right up to an historic building. I know you've offered to do the seismic monitoring, but I'd like to include that in any sort of motion we make.
And that's fine, because we know it's part of the
and there's,
requirement. For
yeah,
the,
and there's yeah. two new openings in the Julian Drew that are getting punched in, so I would hope that Jody Brown would be consulted on the connectivity, and that all the closures on the west side of Julian Drew are accomplished following Secretary of Interior standards.
Right.
Are you willing to work with
Jody's
office on that?
Yes.
It just it's never been discussed, and I thought it should be while we're in the public.
Yes.
So.
Okay.
The trash receptacle that you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
Is there space somewhere in the alley where it could be located outside, and would you consider, I can't speak on behalf of the city for sure, but would you consider working with the city or your neighbors to do a trash compactor so that more businesses could utilize it and not have to enter your building? Is that a possibility?
I would think that'd be something that Ross could address. Right now this is the trash room that'll be used by the coach house, used by our building, used by the restaurants from the Julian Drew in that location.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can see, there's a transformer here. Actually, there's now a ramp here. On our site, there's not much space available, but if there's some other area that could be identified.
Would you be open?
I'm super open to the city of Tucson providing a compactor.
Again, I'm not speaking for the city.
I know that's been talked about for a long time.
Oh,
I think it's a great idea.
In fact, they went so far as to find different locations on those on the apples where it could go. And I think it's a phenomenal idea. Unfortunately, I'm pretty sure we don't have enough space to house the city building or other users in our refuse room. But I think the compact is a great idea, and we're certainly open to it.
Great. And then have you spoke with your neighbors, Llanos and Charo Steak, about the parking situation, how that changes, and what's their reaction then?
I can tell you Ray Flores says that the current parking is more of a liability than an asset, and it creates more problems than it's worth, and we can't wait to have a building there. Llanos is very aware that from before he even became tenant of the block, that would be a structure, so he's well aware there aren't any surprises.
Great, thank you.
Just curious, on the outdoor patios, how are you draining those? And if you're draining them centrally through the building, where do they exit?
Patios, they don't go into the building. They just run off the
So place. They run off over the glass?
Yeah. And they're about, the patios themselves are 4 feet deep. They're relatively small patios, 4 feet by about 12 feet.
John? Two other quick questions. You'd mentioned that the stamp paving that you were proposing along Arizona is actually in TDOT right-of-way. Have you had any further conversations to see if that's actually a possibility? Or
it's in the current development plan submittal that's being reviewed.
But you haven't heard anything?
I haven't heard whether it's been accepted.
Okay. And is the soffit lighting at the first floor that was part of the revision part of the revised package that we
yes.
would be
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. It's already, yeah.
Yes. In the previous, I think 2013, this project was planned in IPP for no parking on site. And so what I would request is that the developer owner furnishes prospective tenants with garages and rates at the time and makes it clear to them that they're responsible for parking. And also that if parking does spread into neighborhoods, which neighborhoods in that area really park on the streets, that the developer owner will work with those neighborhoods to find a resolution if it creates a problem. And so we've had those conversations with other projects, and it's just an issue that people have to park on the streets that
Yeah, and I believe at one of our previous meetings, Ross was there and he spoke to the fact that, yeah, there's parking available across the street in the AC Marriott that can be set up for monthly leases and stuff like that. So, but the idea of sort of identifying those and providing that material to prospective tenants, I think that certainly...
Okay. And I hear your explanation why there should be eyebrows. And I do have concerns about reflection of the glass, and that the blinds inside will cut some, but it's still reflecting out into the environment and contributing to the heat. And so if there is a way to look at eyebrows, how many balconies are on the south facing? I didn't see in your last.
On the south facing, there are none.
None, so it's all glass wall.
Yeah.
Okay, and I know that what the west wall is. Mm. So it does concern me, and it also concerned, we talked about, and I know the argument about not having the eyebrows above the sidewalk on Arizona Avenue, but that's an unshaded sidewalk there. And so if there's something that can be high enough that the city would agree to do, I'd really appreciate having something like that, because it's not a great place to walk in the west in a late day. We talked also about, one of the ideas, but there was hopes expressed by Ross and you as well, that people would actually bike and use street cars as opposed to driving. And I think, are there facilities for bike parking and maybe bike maintenance on the ground floor that your prospective tenants could use that and one, keep them out of the units, but also make it really easy for people to ride and walk their bikes up and be able to work on them.
Well, and I know Ross and I, we've talked, and I think we've talked with this committee here about there's this space right here on the ground floor that is currently kind of an unusual space. It has a little basement in it. It's got a little mezzanine in it. It's kind of a funny little place. And it has access to it from both the courtyard on this side and from our side. And one of the ideas was that that might be a great place to have some bicycle storage, bicycle repair, stuff that would be available for his tenants that are not only in this building, and there are several apartments in this building, and then the new project across the street, that could become an amenity for use by all of them.
So that will be, or could be?
Yeah, Ross is like...
Well, there's certainly going to be more bicycle parking and storage in the neighboring courtyard. What will become of that that little pop-out space? It may be an open breezeway from the area, so I can't commit that will be a bicycle repair room, but we are certainly going to have more bicycle parking on the site than there is today.
One other thing I suggested, and I think was in the review we had, is that the roof be wired for solar for future. And it is an economical way to do it now while it's being built rather than trying to do it in the future. Whether you, Ross, are the owner in the future, or it gets sold to someone else that wants to do solar, I would really like to see that incorporated, and that's feasible.
And actually, our best opportunity to do that would actually be on the Julian Drew building. Was that? I mean, if you were to see a roof plan of this building right now, it's probably 70% covered with mechanical equipment for the individual units down below. So there'd be very limited opportunity up there. Although there'd be more opportunity on the space that's available on the Julian Drew.
Actually, the best opportunity might be on the carriage house.
Oh, the carriage house.
Maybe we could run conduit over there as part of this, and that would probably be pretty easy to answer.
Yeah. But
the Drew building would be shaded, particularly from the west side, so that would be a good option.
It would, yeah.
So. I think that is it. Are there any other questions? What else? Comments?
Do we need to hear anything from the design profession?
I think he's pretty much covered what my comments were, but if you'd like, I could kind of go over them quickly again, just for the record.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. It was on the agenda. I just didn't see it. So,
what should... I think that Bill has responded to the relationship between the old and the new building. We talked about that. We talked about the color being implemented. We didn't talk today about the crosswalk being maybe marked out or designated as a different material.
Yeah. This area right here.
We wanted to make sure that there was some kind of designation where you're crossing that service area. To alert people to the fact that pedestrians would be coming through there. So that was achieved by a material change, which I think is adequate. We talked about seismic monitoring, so I would recommend that we do that. We talked about briefly about layout of where all the utilities are coming in and so forth. I think that's, again, out in the back. It's not going to really affect any of the primary elevations that we're looking at.
Right, right.
Yeah. We talked about the screening element, which you addressed, and last time you brought a sample of that.
Yes.
I don't know. You guys probably remember all that.
Thank you.
We didn't bring up the mural again, but you might want to briefly talk about the mural.
Oh, yeah. Well, clearly, right now, again, most people are aware of the mural that's on the side, the west-facing side of the Julian Drew building, the one that was done in the middle of the night, and much to everyone's surprise, everybody loves it. And one of the comments that keeps coming back is, well, what's happening with the mural? Well, obviously, the mural will be covered up because it's painted on the existing brick. But the rooftop terrace on the Julian Drew will occur, well, you can see this little stair element here. It'll occur between that and the existing, or the new facade of the new building. And one of the ideas that Ross even threw out was the possibility of bringing back that same artist and having him do something on this side of the building that, as you're coming into downtown from the east and you get that view down Broadway, you'd be able to see it there. And then if you're actually on the roof terrace, obviously it would be a part of that. Now, given that we're now have a more of a texture on that wall than we had previously, that may add, I don't know if it would be a challenge or an opportunity for the artist to deal with these different planes. But that's certainly something that's up to Ross and whether he wants to do it or not.
I always anticipated having to talk about the mural, but I just never expected it to be in this context. And how to save it or preserve it or replace it, it was all, I always thought it was going to be, why did you do that? How did you get it off? But the community has grown very fond of it.
Yeah.
It's not like he doesn't own other buildings in the area that
well, that's
the artist could use that have flatter surfaces.
That is true.
So then finally we talked about the night lighting, which you've addressed. And I think if, in regard to all those concerns that were brought up, if those were implemented, I would recommend approval to the committee.
I move that we accept the project as revised, with consideration to the three following items. One, that the developer consider a compactor. Two, that the parking, if the neighborhood parking becomes a problem, that he'll consult the neighborhood. And three, that they disseminate parking information to potential renters for the building of what might be available in the area.
Additions to the motion.
Could I make two additions to include the seismic monitoring and that the connectivity to the historic Julian Drew be monitored by the city's HPO?
Absolutely.
Okay. Otherwise, I'll second. Yeah.
And another one that there's adequate bike parking and workstation available to tenants.
On this specific site or?
Just available.
I thought you said they were adding a whole lot of parking in that breezeway area.
So I'll add, they already have a complete waiver of all bicycle and vehicular parking on this site, so that's already been an approval in a previous.
Okay. Yeah. Could we add that it be made available to this building as well if it's developed for the parcels under the same ownership? That seems more reasonable.
Sure.
Since there is a waiver. Does that seem to be?
Okay. You'd like to hear the motion.
let's hear the motion again, Mr. Chair, members of the DRC, just to make sure we got it right. So please go ahead and correct me as needed. So the motion is to approve the project as presented by the applicant with the following considerations. For the developer to consider the trash compactor along Arizona Avenue. For the developer to consult with the neighborhood in the future about future potential parking impacts as a result of development. For the developer to disseminate the parking options to tenants. to make sure that the connectivity to the existing historic Julian Drew building is to be monitored by the City of Tucson Historic Preservation Officer. And there's a fifth one.
Seismic monitoring.
Thank you.
And instead of project as presented, I think it's the revised project.
The revised project.
Okay. There's a motion. Any clarifications on the motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes 4-0. All right. Any opposed? Okay. All right. Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
There's a dead tree on city property. Can the city replace that tree?
Which tree are you?
All those trees are very beautifully grown. There's one dead one.
Okay.
And the city knows about it.
Okay.
I'm happy to pay for it if the city will take it out and plant it.
Okay.
But I'm happy to buy it.
We'll let them out.
Thank you. I'm happy to let it.
Yeah. Nobody really knows how that one died. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ross.
Thank you very much. Thanks again for coming and seeing us so often before we finally saw it.
That's really appreciated. You're welcome. You all did a great job on that.
Thank you.
In this quick interlude, I just want to make a quick announcement, which is that Jennifer Patton, who joined the last meeting, has actually resigned from the IID Design Review Committee. She's just not able to fulfill the time commitment. So we have been able to find another registered landscape architect who is willing to join, and that's Eric Parrott, sitting in the viewing spot. We invited him to join today just to observe and hope to get Eric appointed possibly in time for the next IID meeting.
Okay. Welcome. If no one needs a break, then we're going to go on to the next item, which is item 4, the TAD-33, Partners on 4th, T19SA00242. DP-19-0125. Preliminary staff remarks first, please.
This is a courtesy review of the proposed project associated with planned area development rezoning located at the former Maloney site on 4th Avenue. That's pad 33. As a courtesy review, the feedback from the IID DRC is purely informational and no formal action will be taken. Mixed-use project proposes a combination of retail and residential units at the southern end of 4th Avenue. The project will include 323 residential units, 227 parking spaces for residents, plus an additional 32 parking spaces for public use. The development includes amenities such as a pool deck, outdoor kitchen, seating areas, fitness rooms, and a community garden. PAD specifically calls out street activation as a required design component, and the project is proposing to achieve this through 4,500 square feet of retail along the 4th Avenue corridor. As outlined in the PAD document, the project will be reviewed by the DRC for compliance with design standards that include building articulation, building materials, pedestrian-oriented streetscape design, and shade. And I can kind of go into a little bit of what's in the design review process in the PAD document if you'd like, or we can turn it over to the applicant. Okay. So section 11 of part 3 of PAD 33, the design review process. A design review shall be conducted by the IID DRC for compliance with the relevant development standards in part 3, section 3 of this PAD. The IID DRC will provide a letter of recommendation to the PDSD director prior to development package approval, advising whether the design conforms to the relevant sections of this PAD. Then it goes on to talk about the composition of the design review committee. So it is you all with the addition of Michael Beckerer from the Plans Review Subcommittee and Fred Ronstadt representing the 4th Avenue's Merchants Association. The IID DRC's authority shall include the following: review and approve any design guidelines prepared for the development of this PAD, review and approve the design for new development within this PAD, and provide a letter of recommendation to the city at the time of the development package submittal advising whether the design conforms to the PAD. the IID, DRC, and the design professional may recommend, and the director may add special conditions to an approval that include mitigation standards or plans based on the scale, setting, and intensity of the proposed development on a case-by-case basis. Examples of such plans may include, but are not limited to, any one or more of the following. One, a vehicular reduction plan to ensure residents are most effectively using alternative modes of transportation. Proposed methods to reduce vehicular use may be one or more of the following. Transit passes, ride share, bike share, or car share programs, shared parking agreements among multiple uses, and proposals to separate the cost of parking spaces from residential building spaces, or a similar method approved by the PDSD director. From residential building spaces, there's a duplicate line in my PAD document. Number two, a noise mitigation plan to ensure the design of the proposal does not substantially increase noise above current ambient noise levels. Three, a traffic impact analysis that may include a mitigation plan with traffic calming elements and safety improvements. Four, a behavioral management plan and security plan that includes self-policing and techniques to reduce the impacts of noise, odors, unruly behavior, or other similar adverse effects on adjacent residential property. And lastly, five, a ground vibration monitoring study adjacent to historic resources.
Thank you, Nick. Now we're on to a project presentation. John, any questions?
Just a quick question for clarification. It's become clear to me that PADs usually have their own design review committees gathered at the developer's insistence that provides the letter to the city of the recommendation. This is the first time we have ever had to do that. How does staff perceive that we will be providing a letter outlining these things as a matter of process?
Yeah, I mean, usually how it works for other commissions is staff would draft something that outlines the recommendation and any conditions, just send it to the chair for their review before it gets sent to the director. So that's what we would suggest in this case, if that works for you all.
So is this the review or is this just a cursory?
Today is a courtesy review. The formal review, we actually want to talk about the schedule a little bit after the presentation. So we've scheduled it for the 30th, but we're actually going to try to push it back a week to the 5th or 6th, provided we can get you all your availability that week. So that would be the formal review, and that's when, you know, there would be a motion, and we would record that and put that into a letter form.
Effectively, the motion becomes the letter. Just clarification for myself, I haven't done this before, so am I a voting member today?
For this actual item review, yes. Mm-hmm. So, right, exactly, not today, but when we get to that point, you are a voting member, as is Fred, or a Fourth Ave Merchants Association representative.
Well, thank you all. My name is Dean Newens. I'm one of the lead architects at Opus Architects Engineers, and I'm representing the Opus Group of Companies. We're a real estate development company headquartered in Minneapolis with an office in Phoenix and other offices around the country. Thank you all for being here today. I've met with some of you through the course of this project. Some are new. Some have been impacting the project along the way. Thanks, Faye. Appreciate it. And we are looking forward to sharing our completed work with you today to get some early feedback so we can continue to refine the design and make a presentation to you in just a couple weeks. What I'd like to do is we put an animation together that I think would help kind of three-dimensionally help everybody understand the scale of the project. I thought maybe we could run through that real quick, and then we can talk a little bit more about the design, if that's okay.
Thank you.
out the music. Thank you, Chris. A little louder than I hope, but anyway. So that gives you a quick overview of the project. And what I'd like to do, and Tom's going to join me in a minute. Does this actually work? Okay. I want to get the whole image on the page.
Do you want to download it, Nick, or maybe on Astro?
Just so we don't lose some content. And, you know, I can go ahead and I'll just work the screen. And then we can,
sure.
Yeah, that's fine.
Did you save it to the desktop?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. We'll work through it. If there's something I want to share,
there
I can.
Goes.
Do we need to turn off the whole room and go flashlight to do this, or can we turn off some of these?
It's very high tech in here, so we're back.
It's got one switch.
It's late in the day, but. So thanks for the time. We're really excited to share this with you, and we've been working for quite a few months on this, and this package was originally submitted to the city back in maybe the other half, is that?
Hold it, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
There
that's great.
Go.
Can you do that okay? Great. Thank you. We've been working for several months, really for about a year on the project, and made our submittal initially to the city back in late May on this package, and continue to work on the design through a number of stakeholder meetings with the city planning staff to up to that date, and then continue to refine past that. So what we're sharing with you is the feedback we received from Historic, from the development plan submittal and comments from the development plan, and then again planning staff. So this is a reflection of that. So what I wanted to just share briefly with you before we talk a little about the PAD and the minor amendment aspects of the PAD is that we spent quite a bit of time just immersing ourselves in the community, working. Walking down the street, understanding, spending time in the local establishments, and just really becoming one with the community, and trying to reflect that in our design solutions so that we can be a good neighbor to what is the historic 4th Avenue. And here are some examples of some of the imagery that we have. And our neighbor across the street is the bookstore, and just some other elements. So with that, I'm going to have Tom come up and talk a little bit about the PAD. And some of the adjustments that we needed to make. As you'd imagine, when the PAD was created, there wasn't a project, there wasn't a program, there wasn't a solution for the project, that it was really trying to guide the design solution. And so as we developed the design of the project, there were some minor adjustments we needed to make, which we think are betterments to the project, and I'll have Tom talk about those a little bit.
So obviously the PAD is the zoning, so it'd be like C1 zoning on the corner of Broadway and, you know, Swan or something, and then you have a project and then you adjust to that. In the room, John, Chris, and Fred were all involved in the PAD in the meetings that we had and so on, and a lot of it came from them, quite frankly, and Fred kept the merchants advised the entire time. So just for example, there were indentations along 8th, and where parking is at grade. There's parking below and then parking at grade every 60 feet, and then they, you know, 8 feet wide and go in. Well, then the geometry would never work to be able to park it. But so we asked for that minor amendment, but above it, we do have the indentations. So as far as what people see when they look at the building, you know, they'll see that. There's one that was just a minor amendment. Being able to get from the project or 8th over through Stevens. We talked about a corridor, which would become a real problem with homeless in the area. Like we know it goes on at the plaza right at the entrance of the underpass. So you can still go through the garage safely, pedestrian safe, and be able to go through it.
Also, the ingress and egress off of 8th into the garage got moved around so that you go actually onto the property on Herbert and then go in, and so you got much more pedestrian friendly. We also changed the sidewalks a little bit because we anticipated the width, and I'm looking at Chris right now because when we did the main gate overlay, we made for very wide sidewalks, nothing less than 8 feet clear. So we did, the sidewalks were not narrowed, if you will, as far as, you know, we wanted to landscape them. So we changed that and it still kept 8 feet clear at all points, sometimes wider. So I just wanted to mention those tweaks and, you know, how we did it and how it adjusts the project. Because, yeah, as you know, it's the project, Dean says it very well, the project's like this. Back here, which we have up to 160 feet, they're building, they want to build 140, 20 feet less. But it comes through here, then it's pinched right here, very, very narrow, and then it goes out, you know, towards 4th. So I just wanted to address that, especially with, you know, three of you sitting here, you know, we worked really closely for several months on that.
That's it. Thanks, Tom. And so this is the items in the PAD that were adjusted, and I believe you have the new amended PAD, or you have access to it. Besides the items that Tom mentioned, we, because of the configuration of the site and bringing the tower structure down, we wanted to maintain that 0.7 parking, that, which was identified as an adjustment in the project. And so we needed 4 compact cars that we wanted to introduce to the project. But additionally, inside that same garage, we've provided motorcycle parking, which was not part of the project. And so we've maximized we believe we've put the right balance of zoning and marketing, the amount of cars that we need for the project. The number two, the parking requirement, it was 1.0 per unit, and we've gone to a 0.7. We did a marking study, we did a professional engineering study, and it was agreed that 0.7 was the right number. And the reason that we feel like that's important, as you imagine, this is a TOD project, right? You saw the light rail runs right and stops right in front of our project. Besides that, we're going to have rideshare pickup along the north side of the site. We have extensive bicycle parking, both for the public long and short term, as well as the residents long and short term. So we have bike parking. We know scooters are important, whether you love or hate them, they're an important part of transportation now in the community, and so those are available as well. And so there's many different ways to get around the city, and through our experience around the country and doing projects like this, we felt that that was the right amount of parking, and so we were able to get that amended. Tom mentioned the sidewalk widths and the access. And we get into the floor plan, we can talk a little bit more about these, and please ask questions along the way as we get into this. So site context, you know where you are. If those of you who are not super familiar with the site, we're at the south end of 4th, right before you pass under the trestle to come into downtown. So the site's uniquely located to both serve the university as well as downtown. And so it really becomes a mixed-use project with units from studios and one bedrooms up to 4 bedrooms. We're really not exclusively one type of use or another, but really appealing to a larger market. And we're excited about being able to do that. And we've done that around the country in other projects. One that is most recent up in Tempe, for those of you who have been there recently, we just finished a full city block up there last year, which is 470 units. And it's a mix of both market and student. It also has 776 parking spaces and around 30,000 square feet of retail, as well as a 14-story canopy by Hilton Hotel. So it's a full city block, a large project. And we were we're very pleased with how it came out. We've won some awards for it, and we're taking what we learned from that project and bringing it to Tucson. There's a number of images in here. I'll go through these fairly quick, but this is our context. These are our direct neighbors, and so as required per our submittal, we wanted to provide that context. The images across the top show our direct neighbors, and you can see a little bit in the site plan of how unique this site shape is. And the challenge is, I have to say, I was telling this to some folks, is that it's probably the most challenging site I've ever worked on and tried to figure out because of the site configuration. It was quite complex. And then the PAD with the step back requirements, where the core has to live to service the whole building, created these uniquenesses, again, that impacted the final design solution, which we then asked the minor amendments to help us create a unified design. more immediate context, for those of you that haven't been to the site, you'll see that what we're really talking about, we have O'Malley's on the corner, which is going to remain. This is their surface lot. There is a shut-off touching button here.
Oh, you can actually advance also.
That's fine. I'll stay far enough away. Thank you. Meant to do that. And you're seeing some images. One of the unique aspects of the PAD is a recognition that while it's not a contributing historic structure, there is an historic structure on the property. And you can see along Stevens, this is the streetscape that's there. And we'll, when we get into the further images, we'll talk a little bit more about that. So how do we take and pay homage to these existing buildings, but also create a state-of-the-art project that meets all our program requirements? If anyone wants to stay on any image further, please stop me and we can talk about them in more detail. We are going below grade with half of our site. So the north half of the site is below grade parking. So when you enter off of Herbert, if you remember, Herbert is a through road that comes straight through to the bottom of Stevens. And what we're doing essentially is rerouting Herbert across and then back through the parking lot through this easement area. 24-foot of drive lane easement and another 12-foot of pedestrian easement. So there's 36-foot setback from our building edge to our property line. And that allows both safe pedestrian passage here as well as vehicular movement through here. And then I'll talk more about this as we get up to the next sheet. So ground floor plan. So starting over here, this is the rail stop right here. This is our retail that's represented by the blue-green tone. We have a resident bike parking and repair station here in the corner. What we've done here is we've bifurcated the parking. So we have 32 retail parking spaces that are available immediately as you enter the site and coming in, and it has a wayfinding so that you can maneuver through the garage. There's no dead-end parking. It works very well for the public to use that space. There's also short-term and long-term public bicycle parking here. And then this is our lobby or core for the building. So as the building steps back, and you'll see this in further images, the building increases in height until you get to this core element, which is tops out at about 140 feet. That lobby services our tower. It services the parking levels, and then we have a residential bike parking garage here, and then our electric service generator. This back, okay. This zone right here was determined that was the best place to service the project. This is where our electric service is, as well as our trash is pickup and our move-in, move-out. So we have access to the elevator core, as well as the chutes that bring the trash down from the individual levels into this location and then brought out here for pickup. Stevens is a one-way road. And what we've done is we've pushed the building back slightly off the property line to satisfy the requirement, the PAD requirement, to have pedestrian circulation along Stevens. It's quite tight along this west side, planned west side. And then the site meanders along here. We'll talk a little bit more about that because as we've thought about this more, there are some pinch points here which we think we can improve, and I'll share that with you in a moment. You enter the garage for the residential parking from both Herbert, and there's also an entrance egress, let's say, for the purposes of the people that know where they're going, have a second way in and out of the garage. And we think that works very well. One of the things that was in the original Exhibit 10 was that there was contemplated that there would be an entrance or exit through the site onto 8th Street. In studying that, we thought that it made much more sense to have people use what is already an existing road with a mid-block curb cut and actually funnel cars through so we have less curb cuts along 8th for a safer pedestrian experience along 8th. And so that's one of the reasons that the Meyer Amendment. So best intentions, right? If this site was one thing and this was another thing and you had entrances and exits, but we think that now that we've solved for the project, that this is a better way to handle the project. And so we're collecting people along what is already a thoroughfare. I mentioned that there's 24-foot of drive lane here. There's another 12-foot of pedestrian. And what we've done here is kept it at 12 feet to help the retail space have an indoor-outdoor experience, thinking that this corner might be some type of hospitality or restaurant space, and that as you move down to the west, that it's still a 12-foot walk, but 4 feet of it is actually landscaping. And water that moves across the site can go into these water wells, into the tree wells, to feed the trees. And we've eroded the building back at the base and created a canopy. While this is still north, shade is still important, and we want to make sure that we have, in that summer solstice area, that we still have good shade back to our residential entrance. There's also a 15-foot pedestrian easement that's identified. And so we've done the same thing here. We always maintain, as Tom said, that 8-foot of pedestrian path, but then we sprinkle in some landscaping, and then we also put our bike parking for the public in this zone, because it was kind of a unique shape. You can see how Herbert kind of bends at the end, and our site responds to that. There's a large, for those of you that understand the site, is there's a large switch and transformer area here that supported the old trolley station, the repair station. And so what we're doing is we're modifying that electricity. There's also a tremendous amount of power that runs up and down Herbert. So we're rerouting that power around the site, maintaining some of the switch and transformers to support O'Malley's, and then the rest of it is going to be down here to service us. So we've maintained the loop. We've worked all that out with the utilities, and I believe we've got a good solution there. So we're really happy with how people can now migrate north along 4th. They can also come through the site and enter and exit that way. At the top end of the site, we're going to have our rideshare pickup at this location. So there's existing parallel parking here, and we're negotiating with the city to capture those spaces, or a few of those spaces, so that we can have rideshare. Again, that's another way to get around town. And we don't want to and have that on 4th. Obviously, there's a lot going on there, and it's also really limited on how you can access 4th. As we move up through the project, I lose my ability to turn pages. As we move up through the project, we've taken the area above our parking and actually crossed over our lobby, so that all this yellow area is actually our residential parking to get that 227 cars that was described. And that's through a park on ramp that's located here that services both down below and up above. The retail is two-story space, so we've got 20-foot clear, approximately, inside the retail, which is what today's retail is looking for. And you'll see that in the perspectives and elevations. It really helps the scale of the building. One of the things that the PAD called out, and you'll see it in an isometric that we have, is there's a series of step-backs. You can see these light lines here, if I could. You can see that there's a zone where we're only allowed to build to 30 feet, and then to 50. There's a range from 50 to 80 feet, and then 80 to 110, and then up to 160. So what we've done is actually honored that, and it really influenced the design solution. We started with that, if you will, because we had to solve for the building to function. Other than this, so this is really the residential portion of the project, if you will. This is accessed only by the residents. As we move up to level 3, the blue represents our units. You can see it's a very unique shaped building, and this is, as Tom described, while at the ground floor to get the parking to work, we wanted to make sure that we sculpted the building in a way that really responded to the PAD and really responds to good architecture, and that is to have the building, these are approximately 58-foot bars that that extend north, and this is to parking down below. We have a couple of zones where folks that live here have amenity spaces, and Nick described that very well. And that is, we have a community garden and terrace area here on the west side of the building. We have an indoor-outdoor fitness facility. So there's a patio out here. We think these views back towards downtown are quite excellent. And then we have our larger amenity area that's over the retail area and the parking at the east end of the site. The green tone or teal tone represents the amenities that support the project. There's fitness, there's club rooms, there's lounge spaces, quiet spaces, active spaces, spaces that support the outside. And we think that's really going to be a wonderful space. You saw that in the imagery we shared a moment ago as well. As the building moves west, we're eroding that. So everything here is dropped off at that 30 feet, at that 50 feet, which is lower than that still. And then this is the tower plate, our core is here. And then as we move up to that last tier, the building drops off further, and this is where we're allowed up to 160 feet of tower form. And so that's why the core is there, and that's why this pinch point became so critical to solve for that, the functionality of the building, both the services coming in and access to the project. This I really liked the way that this project, this diagram helps communicate what we were trying to solve. As well as the, let's say, the PAD compliance, if you will, the massing that's required for the project. It really starts to talk about our big idea on the design solution, and that is how the retail responds to its context. We spent a lot of time on Fourth Avenue looking at what does the retail want to be? How can we be a good neighbor with all the other retail? And it's quite eclectic, right? There's a lot of different styles. There's stucco, there's brick, there's metal, there's voodoo dolls that are 30 feet tall. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on. So how are we a good neighbor to that? And our design solution here was to use a brick material, modular scale brick, that really responded well to the pedestrian scale. As you saw in the imagery, the indoor-outdoor ability of this retail to connect itself to the outside on a wonderful climate day. This band that we've created around the building, this datum, if you will, that wraps around the entire project and is interrupted by these vertical forms that come down and you know, slam into the ground. And then lastly, how do we treat this edge? How do we screen the parking? How do we take our parking structure and turn it into art? And the way that we're proposing to do that is to take a burnished block and treat it like a shadow block by creating voids in it, and then a percentage of those voids would have a solid cell color tone in it, so that in the evening and night, because a garage will always be a lit for safety, we have this uniform light quality that will just let these soft levels of light come out into the environment. And so we're really excited about that as a detail. You may have seen that in the image as well. Our material board. So a little bit more detail. You can see some of the perspectives and moves we've made. As I mentioned, the brick for the retail. And while this is a bit washed out on this page, we're working on some of the color palette for the tower, the ephes that we've proposed for the tower forms. We do have to bring in the warmth. We've got a wood-colored canopy elements that both are on the retail, on the entrance to the residential, and then up above on the amenity deck. Here's the burnished block that we're posing, as well as the solid cell color tones for the base of the building. One of the other, this is probably a good place to describe this, one of the other PAD requirements was to pay homage to this historic building. And so what we've talked about this, and actually we got some great feedback from the historic team about, let's not duplicate history, but let's pay homage to it. And so what we've talked about, and you'll see this in a later image, is to take the sconces off the building, restore them, maybe take the windows out of the building and figure out how to use them in a way where we're not duplicating the facade like a Disney World stage set, but we're actually interpreting it. And so we can talk about that a little bit more. Here are some images for the building. This is as the gateway, if you will. We have quite a responsibility here, as this project does, in establishing the tone and the vibe for Fourth Avenue as you come from downtown through underneath the trestle into the site. Our building has this wall that's on the property line. Of course, we have this historic structure that right now is a food truck inside that galvanized gate, if you will. And we think that because that structure will most likely be at or near what it is, they'll probably, this building will always breathe. And so we've proposed an artist opportunity here on this the south face. You can see this is the second level of parking through here, the first level where the retail parking is. And this is basically our egress stair coming down from the amenity deck. We need two ways out there. And so we've solved for that. The rail stop and then the tower beyond. This is, we're really excited about this. I mean, this really will be a wonderful space for Fourth Avenue at the south end of Fourth Avenue, and having these small retailers that we all agree want to be local users that can really add to the community fabric. And so we have these four suites that total about 4,500 feet. And Courtney, if you remember, one of the conversations we had, we originally stopped the retail here and just had these suites just kind of lining up. And it was determined, because this building breathes so much from O'Malley's and the parking lot and the easements, that if there was a way to take this retail and wrap it around the corner, drag it down the easement more, it would have a more strong presence. And so we've done that. And we're better for it. I think it's a better project. And then you take that brick. So it's almost like this is an existing building that we've tried to marry with our building, and hopefully in a good way. And here's that datum that I spoke about, which is a metal material, almost like a shingle, if you will, that wraps around and intersects with this retail piece. These are the amenity spaces above, and then it migrates into units as you move through the site. And then the pedestrian easements that are here, and then the vehicular circulation here, this actually turns right into the parking for O'Malley. So there's a lot of cars moving through that space. Signage is important here as well. We're proposing that there be blade signs that are that encroach into this is at the property line, if you will, that there are blade signs both for, let's say, the anchor tenant on the corner, and then individual tenants would have this blade signs that come out of the site. So as you're walking down the street, you're seeing these signs. And that happens pretty typical in an urban area. So what we're doing here with these images, we're actually walking our way towards the front door of the project. This is the retail, which we think will have retractable glass, whether it's garage doors or it's sliding doors. The idea here is that this become an indoor-outdoor space. This is where we're talking about the 12 feet and how we've taken 8 feet of it and made it pedestrian circulation and then put planters to, really, it's a safety thing. When you think about all these cars that are using this maneuvering and they're backing up out of their parking spaces, this creates a buffer that we think is really beneficial to the pedestrian. And then as you get further here, this stops so that we've got a nice wide hardscape so that these patios can erode, you know, to just leak out or spill out into the outdoor space. You can see in the background our shadow block detail and this relief to this datum and then our tower element. So we're really guiding people both to our entrance and then through our site up Herbert. All right, I'll get this right one of these days. Okay, so just a little further downstream, we're working our way towards the entrance. You can see the entrance to the residential. And then we have a living room here that's inside the amenity space. We've taken a radius, the drive, while you think of it, it's maybe right angles from an easement standpoint, we've eased the corner to add more landscaping and planting and a buffer between the entrance and the vehicles moving through the site. This is our stair tower that runs up, one of our stair towers that runs up through the project. Well, and there's some feedback that we got. We had a chance to meet with Robin this morning. She wasn't able to be here today, and she gave us some great comments. And one of those was, while we thought about this as being this kind of glowing element of stair, we want to be careful that it's not too luminous so that it creates light pollution, if you will. And so we're looking at the porosity of this wall and seeing how can we create this idea of a glow without it being a distraction to the residents that live in the area. Just a night shot, same kind of idea. So we're working on these details a little bit, which we'll share with you in more detail as we get together again. And you can see now in the evening how this concept of this wall kind of just becoming this jewel is really our idea that wraps around the whole back half of the site. So now we're at we're on 8th, and we're looking back towards our entrance. So this is Herbert, and if you remember, Herbert goes straight through today, and it's stopping to accommodate our building. And I really like how these forms really play off each other, this horizontality of this datum that we call it, and it's interrupted by this vertical element, but then there are other tower forms. So getting these two to talk to each other, having they're both in synthetic stucco material, but they want them to be slightly different. Maybe there's more texture here. We're working on some of the detailing for this tower element, and this becomes a little quieter. And then this is that pedestrian path we talked about, and as you get over, here's the residential entrance to the parking garage, and then the public parking, bike parking is here at the top end of Herbert. This you saw in the video, and here is just a good overview of what's going on this very unique block. So we have like a full city block with this chamfer coming across the back of the site that's influencing the project. Great views to downtown. We think that this really has a 360 view because of the beautiful context that's all around it, from the mountains in the far distance to the downtown views. And it's just equally important on the back side of the building as it is on the front. Another view from the southeast. And then a view from the southwest. This is that area where we wanted to pay homage to the historic building and figure out how to pull some of these pilaster details and things that we saw there and to maybe introduce the glazing from the original building into the project without duplicating it. And then, of course, this is our service back over here. You can also get a really good perspective and scale of what's happening here with this existing structure and then our project. And why it was important, really, to have this building really stay low up in this first, let's say, 100-plus feet of the site, so that it really, if you look at this corridor, look at what's happening here. I mean, all these buildings, they're one and two stories. And so how do we get this density on the site to provide needed housing to the area, but also be respectful of Fourth Avenue? And here you can see how the our jewel detail wraps around and terminates and then starts into the building that will be this historic reference. One of the things that we heard, I'll just jump to it, it may be a comment that you're going to bring up. I do have a sketch of it, but this is a one-way road with a lot of change in the profile of the sidewalk. And while we've got a 6-foot sidewalk that meanders across here, there's a place where it pinches right here. And so what we've done to accommodate that is we've actually we let the column come down, the tower come down, but we let this form slide back so that there's a safe pedestrian passage around the corner. While people are going one way with their vehicles, we also just want to make sure that this is safe. So we're working on those kind of details that you may have seen on the site plan. Some of our elevations, I think you've seen these, but in a two-dimensional fashion, you can see what's going on here. One of the other details that we were excited about is that, you know, how do you take this other stair tower, these two stair towers, there's one here and there's one here. We're going to work on a texturing, if you will, of the EVIS material so that we can create these vertical elements. So we have really two of them, right? We have these tower elements coming down for the residences, but then also bring these stair towers down. Some of these other images here would say, well, how are we relating to our context? And I'll just roll through these quickly. Some streetscape, you can see our neighbor across the way. Here's the historic reference that we talked about, the existing building, and how do we interpret that? And then what was the inspiration for our jewel wall? And that really was a building just down the street. And Robin knew the folks that lived here. I believe they both passed away, but this very simple porch detail at their home was a series of this 6x6 welded wire mesh that you used for construction and painting it, and then adding these little handmade sculptures in there. And I was like, that's beautiful. Let's see how we can interpret that. And that's where this came from. I think the other part of it is just a half a block away. How does light pass through solids? And, well, it doesn't pass through solids, but how does it pass through glazed elements and little pieces of glass that are colored? And so these two together really drove us to this idea that we're looking at. We're basically on 8th Street right here, that elevation of 8th Street. You can see where the street comes through. And I believe that's it. Forward to your feedback. Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, I'd like to also add, we have Elisa Hamblin here, who's a principal planner with PDSD, who's the zoning reviewer for the development package that was submitted. So she'll be able to answer any specific questions related to that.
Just quickly, I do need to step out for 2 minutes.
Can we take a 4 or 5 minute break, and then we'll get back to it?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Reconvene in 5 minutes.